I have a message that the Lord has given me that I pray God will use as we begin this missions conference. Now, all of us may have different ideals when it comes to worldwide evangelism. We may think, well, Pastor, God hasn't called me to Japan. God hasn't called me to Brazil. And that may be true. But brethren, all of us must have a part in worldwide evangelism. How can we have a part? Well, first, we must have the part in prayer. Yesterday, we had our 24-hour prayer vigil, and we do this every year right on the eve of our missions conference. And we prayed for 24 hours straight, different people taking 1 hour time segments. And I had my whole family here yesterday, and I enjoyed praying with my family as we went through all of those cards and so many unsaved loved ones and so many needs there that was represented. It's amazing. But we pray for our missionaries. I pray for our missionaries every single week at our church. I pray for them. We are to pray for those that are laboring in foreign fields and foreign countries as they are seeking to take the gospel where there is no gospel light. But we are to pray the Lord of the harvest. You know, the Bible tells us, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, the mission field is what we call it, is the harvest field. It is his field. It's his harvest. So we should pray for God to raise up laborers. I pray for our teen group and our children and our school and in our bus ministry here. I'm praying that God would call forth laborers out of our own church to leave here and to go take the gospel to distant lands. We should pray. But the second thing we should do is we should go. You say, well, Pastor, God's not called me to go. I understand that. There was a time in my life when I was in Bible college in which I prayed earnestly about God's will, about a foreign field that God would send me to. And I was willing to go. God did not lead me in that way. But I remember every time I would see a missionary presentation, I got burdened. I said, I want to go there. And then the next one came, I want to go there. You know, I was just, Lord, wherever you want me to go. But God has called me here. And I'm here in Urbana, Ohio. So I cannot necessarily go bodily to Japan or Brazil or wherever we have. But you know what? I am to go to my neighborhood. I am to go to the grocery store. I am to go to the neighborhoods. You are to go to your family, your friends. You are to go to people at your workplaces. We all have been commanded to go. So we are to pray, go, but we are to give. You see, the wonderful thing about helping support worldwide missions is, do you know that today I'm going to be preaching in London? I'm going to be preaching in the Philippines. I get to have a part in things in China and things all around the world. You know how? Through faith promise missions. You see, as I do and many of you, we give every single week to getting missionaries to different foreign fields. And today I want to talk to you about our part in reaching the world from Grace Baptist Church. How can we have a part? We're in 3 John, and it's a very short book. It's only 14 verses. But I want us to read this together. Would you follow along with me silently as I read the book of 3 John, verse number 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, would you underline that little word truth there? You're going to find it 5 more times in this 14 verses. And I want you to underline it because it's important. He said, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he hide, doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, in this little 14 verses that we find here, we find six times where the Bible uses the word truth, truth. But I want you to notice verse number eight, it is the key verse here today. And what I would like to speak to you on verse number eight says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. And this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, fellow helpers to the truth. Today, you say, well, Pastor, what is my part in reaching this world? And by the way, do you know that with nail-pierced hands, Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission to us as God's people? He gave it to the church. And with nail-pierced hands, Jesus said, as we know, well, the Bible teaches us in Mark 16, he said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, how am I going to go into all the world? And how am I going to get the gospel to every creature? Well, a great part of this is that all of us here, we are fellow helpers to the truth. This past week, and I thank God for this, we were able to have our second meeting at a Bible club at a public school. And God has opened the door. It's been something that I have prayed about for a long time. And we are working to get into other public schools to have Bible club. And we have teachers in our church that teach in public schools. And I thank God for their influence and their light there and their testimony. And this past week, I was at West Liberty Salem School at 7 o'clock with the Bible club. And we had the Bible club, and I praise God that two young people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I want to use that as an illustration. Can I ask you something? Who was the person that was involved in all of that? Oh, no. It wasn't just me. I'm just the one who gave the gospel. I'm the one who came and presented the gospel to young people. But can I tell you something? That took place because there were many fellow helpers to the truth. You see, there was a teacher, Mrs. Neer, who allows us to use her classroom, and she helps us with that. Guess what? She's a fellow helper to the truth. We have young people in our church here that were inviting other young people to come to the Bible club. They are fellow helpers to the truth. There were lots of other people that worked and labored together so that we can have the Bible club. Look, the people that got saved, who receives the reward for that? All the fellow helpers to the truth. Do you know what we are as Grace Baptist Church? You may not be the pastor. You may not be the missionary. You may not be the Sunday school teacher. You may not sing in the choir. But all of us here today, we are fellow helpers working together for the truth. The truth of what? The truth that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You know, it's amazing to me. I speak with lots of people about their soul and do they know Jesus Christ as their Savior? People have different ideals about how to get to heaven. Some people think if you do enough good deeds that one day you'll stand before God and God will take your good and He'll kind of weigh it against your bad. And if your good outweighs your bad, you get to go to heaven. Well, that sounds pretty normal and natural and practical to think about, but it is not the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no way to heaven. There is no way to know God only through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we are fellow helpers to the truth. I love this little word, truth. You see, brethren, what we are doing in this world is working with others, serving as fellow helpers to the truth. We are striving to bring people to the truth. Do you know that we live in a world of darkness? Is it not true that we live in a world where people are blinded? What are they blinded by? They're blinded by the lies. You see, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. And what is he doing? He is working in the midst of this world, and he is spreading his lies. Let me show you this. Let's take our Bibles, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's notice this today. Notice what we are dealing with in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 3. Now notice this. We are speaking of the truth, and all of us here today, you and I are fellow helpers to the truth. We have this missions conference, and we're excited about these missionaries. And I tell you, I love to be around these dear servants of God, and they are sacrificing a great deal to go to a foreign field. But you know, the truth is, if you were to ask them, they don't see it as a sacrifice. They see it as a privilege. They see it as an honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we are dealing with something today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Verse number 4. "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Brethren, the God of this world is blinding the minds of them which believe not. Do you understand? That's why we are fellow helpers to the truth. I have the truth. I know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There, it is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through our good deeds. It is not through church membership. It is only through Jesus Christ. But guess what? I can't do everything. I can't go to Japan like the PACs are going. I can't go to Brazil like the Gurwitz are going there. And what about all the other missionaries that we have taken on for support? Guess what? I can't go there, but I can help get people there. I can pray for them. I can go to my Jerusalem and my Judea, and I can go to my areas in Samaria and the uttermost. But I can help give to worldwide missions through faith promise giving. And I can help get missionaries to foreign fields. And therefore, I'm having a part as a fellow helper to the truth. Now, let me give you some simple thoughts this morning. Number one, as we think about fellow helpers to the truth, I want you to notice, number one, our priority. Do you know that every one of us has priorities? Now, I want to thank you because for some reason, praise God for it, you made a priority that church is important. And you know something? I praise God for that. I grew up in a home where my mom and dad made it a priority that Sunday was the Lord's day. And that's what we did on Sunday. We went to the house of God Sunday morning and Sunday night. My mom and dad kept me in Sunday school. And what a blessing that was. Why? Because they placed a priority on there. Do you know that each and every one of us, we do pretty much what we want to do? You see, I can pray if I want to pray. Sometimes we may say, well, I just don't have time to pray. No, we place priorities where we think things are important. And brethren, this morning, if we are fellow helpers to the truth, and God has called all of us to go into the ends of this earth, then we must understand that, brethren, the greatest business in all of the world is getting the gospel to every creature. That is priority number one. Years ago, I heard the story about, and of course, this used to take place years ago in different department stores. They had a monkey in one of their department stores. Now, I'm sure my kids would like to have one of those, you know. But they had a monkey in this store. Well, after hours, when all the department stores were closed, the monkey was in its cage, and that crazy rascal figured out how to get out of that cage. And he went throughout all the different department stores in this chain of stores, And he was taking price tags and he was switching them around. So the next morning when everybody got there, they found the monkey that was out of its cage. And then they began to notice that things were changed. For instance, the next morning, a piano was priced $1.98. All right? Sounds like a pretty good deal. But then a box of candy was priced $6,000, you know? They found shoes for $250. That may not be too far from the point today. But a television sold for $3. Can I tell you what happened? Someone changed the price tags. And brethren, do you know what has happened today in America? Someone's changed the price tags. You see, things that oftentimes we put great value upon are things that should be at the bottom of our priority list. And things that we ignore and put little value upon should be at the top of our priority list. Have you ever had a crisis take place in your home? For instance, a few weeks ago, you know, we ended up taking my son to the hospital. And I'll tell you, we were scared half to death. When you go to the doctor and the doctor doesn't know what's happening, and he said, you better take him to a children's immediately. Go straight there. We're going to call them and get you right in. Can I tell you something? At that moment, my son became the priority above everything else. It didn't matter really about anything else. All that mattered was taking care of him and making sure that he was safe and making sure that he would get better. Brethren, can I tell you this? God works to place our priorities in the right place. And getting the gospel to our loved ones, and getting the gospel to our neighbors, and getting the gospel to our coworkers, and getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, is it really a priority for us? Because if we are fellow helpers to the truth, that should be priority number one. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, when you read the Bible, I'll tell you what you find. You find that priority number one is for God's people to make God known to the rest of this world. That's priority number one. Brethren, when at least 2/3 of the world's population has never heard the name of Jesus Christ, how can we not pray? How can we not go? And how can we not give? I believe this, that the smell of death is upon any church that refuses to obey the Great Commission. You say, how important is this missions conference? It really is the lifeblood of Grace Baptist Church. God has blessed our church. I believe that everybody knows that. God has blessed us numerically. We praise God for that. God has blessed us in many ways, and He has blessed us spiritually. And I mean, yesterday when we had that 24-hour prayer vigil and I seen people praying and seeking the face of God, that's a blessing, and God has put His hand. But let me tell you something. When we stop reaching souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we no longer cease to exist for what God has created us to exist for. We're just a social club. We're not really a church at all. Because church is the place that we come to hear the preaching of God's word, to be stirred, to draw near to God. But it is to make Him known to the rest of this world. I remember being in churches. I grew up in the South and grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my dad, at a time, would fill in pulpits, and we would go to all kinds of different places. And I'd always sit on the front row, and I didn't want to sit with my sisters and my mom, you know, because that was dangerous, you know. But I'd sit on the front row. And but I can remember often leaving a church, and at the top of the door would say, "You are now entering the mission field." I never forgot that, and we don't see that too often today. But you know, the emphasis was, you have left the church house to go tell people about Jesus Christ. That is priority number one. And when we take the emphasis off of that, where God has placed the emphasis, then you just might as well write Ichabod above Grace Baptist Church. The glory of God has departed. I know of churches today that they don't tell people about Jesus Christ. They don't pass out gospel tracts. They're not interested in getting missionaries to different foreign lands. And they're just not interested in that. Then why are they existing? Because the very purpose of the church is for us to draw near to God. Yes, it's for fellowship. Yes, it's for encouragement. Yes, it's so that we can be clean and pure and live the kind of lives that God wants us to live. But priority number one is getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is our priority today. You see, when we have these missionaries come, we got to get the idea out of our mind that we are doing them some great favor. That's not really how we should look at it. Do you know that these missionaries are doing Grace Baptist Church a great favor? You know why? They are helping us carry out the Great Commission. Because listen, we've got to reach Japan. We've got to reach Brazil. We've got to go into the ends of the earth because God has commanded us with nail-pierced hands. He is saying to go to every creature, into all the world. But these missionaries are really the blessing. We should honor them. We should praise God for them because they are helping us as Grace Baptist Church do what God has commissioned us to do. You see, what a blessing it is. Oh, listen, every one of us should have a part. Now, I've talked about that we should pray, and we all should pray. And by the way, this week at Grace Baptist Church, we're going to give you a prayer booklet. It's going to have all of our missionaries in there so you can pray for them. And we split it up in days so you can pray for a certain amount of missionaries this day and a certain amount this day. And then we have a page in there to pray for your own personal needs and family members and co-workers that are unsaved or whoever it may be. And it's a prayer journal that we will give you at the end of this week. But can I tell you something? We must pray because God has said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. We must go. We're getting ready to start back up with our Great Commission night here. And I look forward to that. Going into the highways and the hedges, compelling them to come in. But the third thing is we must give. You see, how do these missionaries get to the foreign field? You see, they cannot go to Japan and Brazil and get a job and work there. And by the way, if they did that, they would be doing only that and not able to do the work of the ministry. You see, as a church, as we give to Faith Promise Missions, and what is Faith Promise Missions? I'll tell you what it is. It is that above our tithes and above our offerings, we come before God and we say, God, by faith, I promise to give so much every week to missions. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And Lord, by faith, I'm trusting you to give me that money so that I can give to help missionaries get to the ends of the earth. You know something, what's exciting? I don't know what anybody gives in our church except me and my wife and our family. I don't know what people give in tithes and offerings and even in Faith Promise. I know the total of it. But you know something? I know we have kids in our church that give a dollar a week to Faith Promise Missions. You may say, well, it's just a dollar. Oh, listen, God is not concerned about the amount because God has endless resources and He can bless and take the little dollar that the little girl or the little boy gives and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? All of us can have a part in faith promise giving where we say, God, by faith, I'm asking you to give me what you have laid on my heart to give every week so that we can get missionaries around this world. You know, I love reading the missionary letters as they come in. And you know what? We see them and God's blessed with maybe a new orphanage or God blessed them with a new building and God blessed with these people saved. And you know what I think? I had a part in that. Why? Because I give to missions. So you see, priority number one is getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to read this to you. Back in 1983, there were an estimate of 20 million Baptists in North America alone. That same year, 20 million Baptists had given approximately $200 million to worldwide missions. Now you might stop and say, that is amazing. Sounds like a lot of money. But let me do something. We can divide that 20 million Baptists and kind of figure out how much they gave. Do you know what 20 million Baptists gave to reach $200 million in a year to foreign missions? It means that every person gave $10 a year to Faith Promise Missions. A year, just a year, $10. Not even a dollar a week. Do you know that if they would have given $10 per week, those 20 million Baptists would have given $10.4 billion? You see, brethren, it is not just about, you say, well, Pastor, I can only give a few dollars a week to Faith Promise Giving. Listen, God is able to take us all collectively as we are seeking to get missionaries to foreign fields. Do you know that there are fields today that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? We can't even imagine that today. Because we've heard it growing up. We've had Sunday school and vacation Bible school and we've had this and that. But listen, there are fields around this world that have never heard the name Jesus Christ ever mentioned. That's why we've got to get people that are willing, and God has called them to go there. But we support them. We allow them to go so that they can do what God has given them to do. And by the way, that's our priority. Priority number one. Number two, what is our purpose? What is our purpose today? You know something, if your purpose in life is to just live for yourself, we don't really have a good purpose at all. By the way, men, the Bible says, in the last days will be what? Lovers of themselves. Do you know that we all struggle with this battle of ourself and self wanting its own way and self, we must die to ourselves. And the way that we do this is that we understand why God has created us. What is our purpose? Look back in we go to 3 John. Would you go back there? 3 John. And I want you to look in verse number 7. Here we see something. You know, it is so easy for us to lose our perspective on the lost world around us. When we lose our perspective, we lose the very purpose of what God has saved us to be. Brethren, can I tell you something this morning? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible calls that you are saved. You're saved from the penalty of your sin, of dying and spending eternity in a place called hell. But guess what? God has saved you to do something. You see, just because you're saved, I'm going to heaven. That's not it. God has saved you for a purpose. What has God saved you to be? I pray often, Lord, help me to be the Christian that you have saved me to be. Lord, help me to do what you have saved me to do. Lord, help me to fulfill what you have saved me to fulfill. And we all have a purpose. I read something recently, and please know, I don't take this anyway wrong, but I read recently that this year alone, this past year in 2016, $55.7 billion was spent on American pets in America. Now, if you have a pet, Lord bless you. If you have cats, Lord help you, all right? And, you know, I'm just kidding, all right? But that's fine. I know pets are companion and they're a blessing and all of that. But can I just say this to you, just quickly? This year alone, they're saying Americans will reach $60 billion spending on animals, something that does not have an eternal soul. Now, God, I believe the creatures that God has made are a gift and a blessing, and they're made in so many ways to glorify God. But can I tell you something? Have not people, some people, lost their perspective on life that they spend so much on something that has no eternal soul, and people that are perishing in distant lands that are going to die and spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever? Do we have no care? Do we have no concern? What is our purpose? Do you know that my purpose here on earth is not just to have a comfortable life and just to do what I want to do in life? My purpose is to glorify my Heavenly Father. My purpose is that I'm a fellow helper to the truth. I get to have a part. You know, we have neighborhood Bible time around here, like Vacation Bible School every year in June. And I love it. I really do. And you know what? We have lots of workers in our church. Some people make the cookies. Thank God for the cookie people, right? Some people pour the Kool-Aid. Some people clean up things. Some people play the piano. Some people counsel kids that need to be saved. Some people do this and that. Some people drive the buses to go pick up the kids and all of that. Do you know what all those people are doing? Fellow helpers to the truth. That's what we are today. You may say, well, I can't do this and that. But look, God has created us with a purpose to be a fellow helper. We are working together for the truth of the gospel. I've had the privilege to go to some camps during the summer and be able to preach. I love that. I love preaching at camp. And last year I was able to go to Texas, and I was able to preach at Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp. Man, I love it. It's hot there. I mean, we were there. It was 100 and something degrees every day, and I was like, bring it on. This is good, you know? And by the way, they serve sweet tea for every meal, you know? I'm like, these are spirit-filled people right here, you know? But, you know, I went there, and I prayed, I prepared, I worked hard and I preached. That week we had 26, 27 young people come to know Christ as their Savior that week. But can I tell you something? God is not going to look at me and say, well, look what you did. No, I'm just the preacher. What about the guy who drove the bus to get the kids there? What about the workers who stayed with the kids? What about the people who paid to help get the kids there? What about the camp staff? What about the ones who worked in the kitchen? What about the ones who worked in different things? We're all fellow helpers to the truth. We are for the truth of Jesus Christ. This world needs the truth. That's our purpose. You see, our purpose in life is to give the truth. We come back to verse number 7 of 3 John and look at this. Notice what the Bible says. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Look at that little phrase, his name's sake. Can I tell you, that's my purpose and that's your purpose. It is for the name of Jesus Christ, his name which is above every name. And at that name every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? We live in a world today, they don't mind you talking about God, but you talk about Jesus Christ and there's something different there. Oh, they don't want you to talk about Jesus, but here the fellow helpers, their purpose was for his name's sake, to glorify and to praise his precious name. And by the way, you know something? If what we do is not done for his name's sake, then we have no reward. Do you know that my motive must be pure? And we have to pray about that and ask God to help our motive. Are we doing what we do to be acknowledged? Then we have no reward. If what we do to be done to be seen of man, then God says you have no reward. You see, the purpose is for his name's sake. It is that Jesus Christ may be glorified, that he may be lifted up, and people would be drawn near to him. Take your Bibles and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to show you something. Now, brethren, I know I'm speaking about these three different things. You see, we must pray, we must go, but we must give. Why? Because we're all fellow helpers to the truth. But as we think specifically this week, it is about stirring our hearts to give to Faith Promise Missions. Do you know that this week I'm going to be in Burkina Faso? You say, how's that possible, Pastor? Because we support Stephen and Julie Knickerbocker, and they are there serving God faithfully. We have a part in that. We are there, in a sense, as Grace Baptist Church. This week we'll be in Bolivia because Joshua and Jennifer Morris are missionaries there that we support, and we are helping them there. We are fellow helpers in Bolivia. This week we're going to be in Peru because Robert and Sarah Stover are there, and we support them. Guess what? We're there this week helping them, fellow helpers to the truth. We're going to be in Chile this week because David and Andrea White are there, and we support them. We're fellow helpers to the truth. We're going to be in Spain this week because Kent and Belen Albright are there, and we support them. We're fellow helpers to them. We're going to be in China this week because Jean and Nellie Harmon are there, and we support them. We are fellow helpers to the truth. We're going to be in England this week because the Rooneys and the Snowds are there serving God, and we support them, fellow helpers to the truth. We're going to be in Philippines this week because the Hardeckers and the Rice family, we support them, and they are there serving God. We're going to be in Ireland this week because Ed and Joanne Bissett are there, and we support them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, as we give by faith, as God puts on our heart what he wants us to give, and that's what I want you to do this week. Lord, what do you want me to give? Some of you already give to Faith Promise Giving, and some of you already pray, and you already go. But we need to pray, Lord, where do I go? Lord, who do I go to? Lord, how do I pray? And Lord, what do you want me to give? Why? Because we're all fellow helpers to the truth. 2 Corinthians, we are there. And I want you to look in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's begin in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded with the riches of their liberality. Verse number 2, it almost doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? They had great joy and deep poverty. Can I tell you what it was? They knew where their purpose lied. They knew where the great riches were. It was not in what they possessed. It was what they could give. Verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Do you know what I find here? I find in 2 Corinthians, I do not find a wealthy church. In fact, the Bible says they had deep poverty. But here's what I also find. They gave beyond their power. You know what that means? God enabled them to give beyond what they could ever imagine. You know what that is? Faith promise giving. That's saying, God, by faith, will you allow me to give so much money to get missionaries around the world, because that's my purpose and that's what you placed me here on earth. And that is what will lay up eternal treasure in heaven one day. That's what they did. But can I show you something very specific and very important? What did they do first? Look what it says in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You know what it really comes down to? Brethren, when we give ourselves to the Lord, then God gets every part of us. And when we give to faith promise giving, and we pray, and we go, and we tell, and we are a part of worldwide missions, it is because we first have given ourselves to the Lord. Every problem in my Christian life and in your Christian life is out of an unsubmissive heart to our God. When we do not submit to Him, when we do not yield to Him, when we do not say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Where wilt Thou have me to go? When we are rebellious against God, and by the way, every one of us here has a rebel heart. We were born with a rebel heart, and our heart rebels against God. Daily we must submit ourselves to the Lord. You see, our purpose, brethren, do you know that we are approaching 7.5 billion people in the world today? Who's going to give the gospel to them? Thousands, millions of them have never heard, you see, but we can have a part. Brethren, no one is too poor to give to faith promise giving, and no one is too rich to give to worldwide missions. The secret is that we all pray, we all go, and we all give. Number 3, the last thing, not only do we see our priority, our purpose, but number 3, our provision. What is our provision? You're there in 2 Corinthians. Would you go to chapter number 9? 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Here's the provision. The provision is that God is able. That's the provision. Brethren, that's enough. That is sufficient. I did not say the United States government is able. I did not say the stock market is able. I said that God is able to provide. You know what these missionaries do? They go around, literally the country, presenting their work to local churches like us. You know what they're saying? Will you be a fellow helper to us and help us get the gospel to Japan? And help us get the gospel to Brazil? I don't know how many people are in Japan and Brazil, but no doubt there's millions there. And you know something? You say, well, we've got missionaries there. But brethren, we need so many more. Because there's so many without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. More people need to go. And more people need to give. But we need to pray. But they say, be a fellow helper to the truth. Brethren, God's promises do not depend upon the economy of a nation or the prosperity of a company. They are wholly dependent upon God's unlimited resources. You see, this morning, God wants us and God wants me to be a fellow helper to the truth. I know if some people thought that they had to stand behind a pulpit and had to preach, that they'd probably pass out thinking about doing it, you know? Pastor, I could never do that. Well, God may have not called you to do that. And, you know, for me, as I think about going to a foreign field, some of us may think, Lord, I just don't know that I could ever do that. Well, if God called you, where God guides, God provides. Where God leads, He enables you. But can I tell you something? That may not be God's will for your life, but every one of us today can have a part in going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, because we are fellow helpers to the truth. And brethren, by the way, every one of us has a message to tell. You see, I know the truth, and I'm to take the truth so that others can know the truth, and so that they can take the gospel and tell others that do not know the truth. We have the truth, but will we deal with it? You see, the greatest treasure that I have in this world is the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You know, I make no greater contribution than to continue to speak the truth and to help others get the truth out. Years ago, I heard the story. It took place on March the 13th, 1964. It was a lady by the name of Kitty Genovese. Kitty was 28 years of age, and she was returning home from working late at night. And it was around 8 o'clock in the morning. She was coming to a nice middle-class area of Queens, New York. She parked her car in a parking lot about 35 yards from her apartment building. She got out, locked the car, and began to walk to her apartment. And in a moment, a man came up behind her and grabbed her. She screamed. She hollered out. And in that moment, lights from the 10-floor apartment close by, lights came on. In fact, windows opened as the man took a knife and stabbed this 28-year-old lady. She cried out, "Help me, he has a knife." There was a man that had his window open that heard everything that happened. He hollered out, "Let that girl alone." The attacker looked up, shrugged his shoulders, and still began to attack this woman. Lights went back out. The person who attacked her left the scene, and she was lying there in the morning on a busy street there bleeding to death. But no one called the police. No one came to her aid. No one came to help her. A horrible nightmare began to evolve as the attacker came back within the next 15 or 20 minutes with the same knife and attacked her once again, stabbing her again. She yelled out this time, "I'm dying, I'm dying." Lights came back on again. Windows opened, but no one called the police. No one did anything to help her. Do you know something? The police got a phone call at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon that day that a lady had been stabbed. By this time, she is dead. You know, it's a pretty sad thing that there, lying alone with cars passing by, and even they said the city bus came by that day, but there was a woman. No call was made until it was too late. No one did anything to help. Maybe they thought it's someone else's job. Someone else will do something to help. Brethren, we live in a world today where people are crying out. They cry out with their sin. They cry out with the darkness that they're involved in. And I'll tell you something, we have the truth. We have the only thing that they need to give them their soul salvation and to secure them a home in heaven. You know what I am today? I can't do everything, but I'm a fellow helper to the truth. And every one of you here, no matter if it's a boy, a girl, a teenager, no matter how old or how young you are, no matter what abilities you think you have and do not have, every one of us today, we are fellow helpers to the truth. Brethren, I'll tell you, what do we need to do, Pastor? Pray. Pray for these missionaries. Pray for the ones we support already. Pray that God would raise the laborers out of this church to go into the harvest field. But number two, we must go. I must go across the street. I must go to my friends and family. I must go to my coworkers. I must go to the person at the gas station. People that God placed in our path so that we can witness to. And I must be willing to go to a foreign field. But number three, every one of us can give. They can give. My children, the first missions conference we had, and I can say this because they're not here today, but my children said, Dad, we want to give. But they said, Dad, we don't work a job. How are we supposed to get? And, you know, as a parent, you just want to just, well, here, I'll give you some money you can give. But that really wasn't the key. My children said, Dad, can we do some jobs around the house to earn money so that we can give to Faith Promise Giving? You see, they work throughout the week doing things around the house. Not things they're supposed to do, like making their bed and all that, but extra things, above things, things so that they can get enough money so they can have a part in Faith Promise Giving. Why? Because we're all fellow helpers to the truth. What must we do first? We do what 2 Corinthians says, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's where we begin. This morning, I want to ask you, let's begin this missions conference by giving ourselves to God and saying, God, what do you want me to give? Lord, would you put people in my heart even now that I need to tell the gospel? Lord, help me to covenant with you that I'm going to carry gospel tracts and I'm going to be ready to go and tell the truth. We are fellow helpers to the truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer.